Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. It's Thursday. We're here. Kevin is excited because he actually believes that tomorrow is qualification day. I actually know it's Saturday.
I knew it was Saturday. I just misspoke.
Really?
I mean, I'm still getting... Hey, listen, if I have all my stuff in place now, I'm still ahead of the game. Then I don't have to worry about tomorrow.
Really? I feel like I'm talking with Scarlett O'Hara on this show. All right. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Randy has a huge job of bringing clarity to this program.
Steve, I think that we have an historical rivalry with Pitt. And I, for one, you know, and I don't know if there's any problems in the past. I think there was, but I think that we should play them every year.
Okay.
Okay.
And I understand the historical rivalry part, although yeah. I will point that I'm not going to get into how old you are, Randy, because I know how old I am.
I'm a little older than you, Steve.
Okay. If you're 30 years old.
Okay.
If you're 30, I'm talking 30. Now, I didn't pick out 15, 10, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're 30 years old, this game means nothing to you.
That's right. I agree with that, yeah.
I mean, that's the interesting part. This is a generational thing with this game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're bringing it back, at least in some form. The only part that concerns me about it being, quote, every year, is that in a world where you need RPI points,
yeah,
when it comes to now the college football playoff, I think you lose the flexibility to maybe go out and schedule an Alabama, schedule a Florida, schedule a USC, schedule a Texas that fills that one spot that you'd like to have a home and away with every other year, or Virginia Tech as an example. That's the only part that's the only part I'm concerned with in playing them every year. And I understand desire to, because again, it's a generational thing, and somewhat of our generation fully appreciates the rivalry.
Well, I remember Fran Fischer. Okay, I remember Fran and George, and you know, I'm 60 years old this year, and to me, Pitt, I look a lot differently at Pitt than you know, you're 30-something or you're 20-something, so I understand that point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you and I of that generation, we remember Tony Dorsett watching him play. We remember Elliot Walker. We remember Matt Kavanaugh, Hugh Green, Dan Marino, and a dislike.
And Jackie Sherrill.
Above all, there was a point, believe it or not, I want to go back 5 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe six. Jackie Sherrill came up to a Penn State game.
Yeah.
And Joe and Sue invited Jackie Sherrill over to the house.
Yeah.
And Jay's son, his oldest son, is also named Joe. So he's Joe Paterno the third.
Yeah. Okay?
And Jay said he walked into the den and he looked and there was Jackie Sherrill holding Joe Paterno the third on his knee. And he said, who would have ever thought 25 years ago? How about that story?
good one. Steve, I have a basketball question.
Yeah, please.
And I've been thinking about this for several weeks. I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Oden, Ohio State, was highly touted.
Okay, he was the first overall pick of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yep. One year at Ohio State, I think. And
yes.
Then he went off to the pros. Whatever happened to Greg Oden? I never hear about him.
Right. Greg Oden had microfractures in his knee. And that has just absolutely killed his career. He actually got off to a decent, he had a couple of good moments with them early in his career, but microfractures in his knee completely derailed his career. And when you look at him, he missed the entire 2008 season as a result of it. He recovered. Was able to get back by opening night 2008, but the Blazers eventually waived him in March of last year.
Okay.
And, that's where he is. I mean, it's all because of the knee problems that he had. Now, his buddy Mike Conley, who played with him in high school in Indianapolis, played with him the 1 year at Ohio State, he's thriving right now with the Memphis Grizzlies as the starting point guard and probably is the go-to guy in that basketball team.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah. Oh, I know he was. He was like so highly touted as a college player, and then he went to the West Coast as an NBA player, and I haven't heard of him since. So I figured he got hurt, but he would have had a great career, I think.
He had microfracture surgery on his knee twice. Since being drafted, and it's just has absolutely destroyed whatever career he had, and he's out of basketball.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Randy. Our number 1-800-795-9556. Randy brings up some very good points. Randy would like to see it be an every year deal with Pitt. We're just like Iowa, for example, plays Iowa State every year for the Cy Hawk Trophy. He would like to see Pitt be an every-year deal. So at 800-795-9565, do you agree with Randy, who would like to see it be an every-year deal? Or do you want to see it sometimes or not at all? As I pointed out, this is a generational thing.
See, I kind of fall between both. I mean, I understand the history of the quote-unquote rivalry, but I also don't see a benefit for Penn State playing it in the future. I mean, unless something changes with Pitt football, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk bad about Pitt football, but I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't help Penn State's RPI when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, let's be realistic here, okay? I think Paul Chryst is a very good coach, and I think he was a very good choice as a coach, but it's going to take him a while.
Absolutely.
Okay, Pitt is not an upper echelon team at the moment. Penn State, despite everything it went through last year, went through the Big Ten and went 6-2, and they won 8 of their last 10 games. Pitt, with their full load of talent and everything they had with no problems, would have been probably a below 500 team in the Big Ten last year. Pitt has benefited to hang in, because the Big East has been relatively weak, and I don't want to hear about the Big East bowl records. They don't play SEC teams in the Outback and Capital One bowls, and they'll play a Pac-12 team in the champion in the Rose Bowl and things like that. You know, your bowl record is made in part as to who you're playing. All right.
Now, let me ask you this. When looking at the 2014 schedule the way it sits right now, it's currently set with Temple on August 30th at Beaver Stadium, Akron on the 6th of September.
Then it's Akron, yep.
And then it's at Rutgers for a conference game. UMass comes to town on the 20th of September.
Right.
So technically, if you look at the schedule, that we have at stevejonesshow.com. Remember, there are weeks that are skipped in there because there are games that were already scheduled.
Yeah, but there's a Central Florida game there, too.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask. Central Florida is not yet scheduled. Where do they put that? Is it Saturday, October 4th?
No, I don't think so. I think what's going to happen, they really want, and it's not done yet. It's not done. They really want to have a game in Ireland.
And you talked about that last hour.
A destination game. They want to have a destination game. Ireland appears to be the destination, but it's not all worked out yet. The Orlando Sentinel has reported that they think Central Florida could be that possibility. If that were to happen, my guess is that would go to the front of the schedule and they would ask maybe Temple to move to another date.
I'm just taking a quick look at Temple's schedule, which is a lot more open right now for 2014.
October 4th open?
Yeah, October 4th would be open right now, and you look at the Big Ten schedule.
Right. Well, Penn State was open October 4th.
Yeah, they don't have anything scheduled on the 4th.
Right, so that could be the possibility where you ask Temple, talk to Matt Rhule, ask to move that game to October 4th, opening up August 30th, with the idea that you would play that opening game because of travel-wise, you'd like to make life a little easier for yourself travel-wise getting there. Now, you do have the tough assignment of having to come back and being jet-lagged coming back and then trying to play the next week. The way Notre Dame and Navy both did it, they did not play the next week.
You know, the only games that are on Temple's schedule right now, at least the one that I'm looking at, is Penn State for 2014. Let's see, they have Navy at the link, followed by Maryland and Notre Dame. Those are the four games that are on the schedule. Three of those games are going to be a real challenge for Temple.
Yeah, but those are non-conference games.
They don't have a conference schedule. You're right. That's correct. And that's the other thing with October 4th. Is there a conference game in that schedule right now, or will there be that they have to work out too?
Well, they have to have eight games. I mean, they could certainly work that out as a bye week with their conference.
Right. Right. That's the point. That was my point. Yeah.
You know, they also could work out a bye week in their conference if they wanted to and make it October 18th.
Now, I have another question for you, too. We talked about strength of schedule being an issue here down the road. With the way the Big Ten appears to be, possibly could be, expanding again, does that mean like the 2015 schedule with Buffalo might go away?
Well, in 15?
Yeah.
They have to come up with another game in 15, don't they? They have four non-conference openings in 15.
I'm showing three games, but one of them is Rutgers. I have Temple, Buffalo, and Rutgers. Who am I missing?
I think they have two openings.
Okay.
They had talked at one point to BYU, but that's not going to happen. So they have two openings because they were actually in 2015, they have four non-conference games. Now you could look at whomever and say, hey, look, how about if we play this thing in 2015, and then just fill a slot in 2014? You could do that.
Well, I guess the point I was trying to make is how many of these teams now, with the change in the bowl system, are looking at their schedules for 15 and 16 and going, okay, maybe we need to make a change here.
You have to, but again, the SEC has to make a decision too. The SEC has to make a decision as to whether or not they're going to nine conference games. They have eight. And I'm telling you right now that one of the parts of them bringing in their own network, nine conference games would behoove them because they want to make their network as attractive as possible. Now, even though it brings with it an odd number, the Big Ten does it right because in 16, everybody in that division has five home games. And then the next year, everybody in that division has four. So by having every that evens out the playing field in terms of home and away when everybody in the division has the same amount. The SEC needs to consider whether they're going to stay at eight or not. Pac-12's at nine, Big Ten's at nine. The ACC has to make a decision, too, as to what they're going to do. They have so many schools now, plus there's the Notre Dame scheduling issue. Notre Dame is supposed to play five of those teams in a year.
Well, you were I cut you off there the one time when you were talking, when I had alluded to the potential of more expansion.
I don't think it's going to.
And you don't think it's going to.
I don't think it's going to, because I think now that the grant of rights has been put together by the ACC, yeah, and the fact that the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12, and the ACC all have grant of rights, I think, you know, which means that for the next 12 years, all of your television money, regardless of where you are, is signed over to the league.
You don't get Italy.
Right? It's signed over to the league. All right. So, I mean, why bother moving? That's what that's about. I think expansion right now is flat. The only real expansion possibility. Now, technically, if you wanted to go and poach an SEC team, you could do it. Because they don't have a grant of rights. You know that?
Yeah.
The SEC is the one of the five that does not have it. So if you wanted to go to Missouri and go, hey, Missouri, you want to come on over? Well, no, the Big Ten's making more money than the SEC is.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I mean, you may have said that, but I wouldn't have guessed that on my own.
Yeah, the Big Ten per school makes more money than the SEC does.
Wow.
I mean, the only real possibilities are if you want to go and get an SEC team, a Missouri or something, whatever, or a UConn or a Cincinnati. But I don't think you should expand for expansion's sake. I think you need to have something that really is a dynamic that hits a home run for you.
Yeah, but as you said many times, I mean, if the Big Ten's going to expand, New England, the Northeast, would be the spot to do it because of the New York television market.
Well, sure. I mean, you have Rutgers, which takes care of that. Now, UConn does bring it with it, the Connecticut television market and the Hartford television market, which is actually a fairly sizable TV market. They're a top 25 market.
What about BC?
No, BC's in the ACC. They have a grant of rights.
They have the grant of rights. That's right. See, I keep forgetting about that part.
Yeah.
But that would be one that it otherwise would have been interesting for the Boston market.
Right. Yeah, it could have been. But I think expansion right now is something that's flat.
What about the future?
It's stabilized.
What about the future of a Penn State-Miami series? That's been discussed a few times.
But again, you have to have the opening, Kevin.
Right.
I mean, with nine conference games, you only have three openings. And if, you know, people keep talking about filling it, let's fill it with Pitt. And I'm fine. Fill it with Pitt. But I am of the opinion that I would like to see you play Pitt. Now, they're going to go four straight. I would like to see in two-year increments, play two, take off 4 years, play two, take off 4 years, play two. You know, that way you can rotate in if you want to play a Virginia Tech, if you want to play a Miami, if you want to play an Alabama or an Auburn or a Texas, if you can work out a series like that. Because I think those kind of series intrigue the fans. Pitt also is intriguing as well. But if you play them six times in a 12-year span or six times in a 14-year span, I think that's good. Yeah, I would like to see you play two, take off 4 years, fill it with other people. Then come back, play two. Okay, so you play them, you know, you would play them four times in 8 years.
I would think the earliest that could happen for Penn State Miami now would be probably 2017, which would be about 16 years since they played before.
No, but you have the 2015 opening. You do have that. For example, Penn State's playing Syracuse to start next season at MetLife Stadium.
Right, but Miami only has one opening in 2015, too.
Fine. They can come here.
They can come here. Here, I'll give you the, here, I'll GPS it out for you.
Right. But Penn State is playing Syracuse this year in a one-timer at MetLife. Syracuse is then supposed to be back on the schedule in 20 and 21.
Oh, wow, I can't even imagine looking that far ahead.
Well, that's why I'm here.
I can't even plan for retirement, and you want me to think about the 2021 football schedules. Wow.
You're the one that has the high school football playoffs done through 2016, not me.
It's not, no. No. In week five, I start looking at it.
No, in week three.
I start talking about it in week three. I start looking at it in week five.
News coming up next, bottom of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. We're going to come up with a new online segment.
Oh, okay. I love when you make changes to the show and you don't even give me a clue what's going on.
Kevin, during the break.
No, we are not going to do that online segment.
I mean, wow. Wow. I just kind of sit there. It's just a lot of wow. Wow.
We solve the world's problems during commercial breaks sometimes.
No, I sit here and listen and grunt a lot.
Yeah, but that's normally the way you respond to me, so it's I don't notice any difference.
Mm.
See?
All right. Beckham's retiring.
Whoa.
I didn't care when he signed with the MLS. I didn't care when he played.
Nope.
I don't get it.
But People Magazine will have a big spread about it this week.
I mean, now Messi scoring a ton of goals for Barcelona, and I get that. Last time I checked, that's the name of the game. I mean, I don't recall this dude scoring. Okay, the Rays have placed David Price on the DL, got banged around by the Red Sox. Roy Halladay could begin throwing in 6 to 8 weeks. Alex Ovechkin says he played with a fracture in his foot. We don't know yet what his counterpart in golf, Sergio Garcia's, excuse is. Orb gets the rail for the Preakness. Golden Sense to the outside. Golden Sense in the two-hole. Very interesting. Tight turns at Pimlico, a misnomer.
Elaborate,
whoever came
please.
Up with the, it is not tight turns at Pimlico. The turns are exactly the same as they are at Churchill Downs. The difference is that the track is not as wide as Churchill Downs.
I've got a great question for you to ask Girardi.
We'll have him on tomorrow.
Yep. And here's the question. In his opinion, why has it been so long since we've seen a Triple Crown winner?
Well, I think part of it is the Kentucky Derby.
I would agree with that.
There are two parts to it. There are two parts to that answer, in my opinion. Part of it's the Kentucky Derby because you're not getting the favorite usually coming out, but this time Orb was one of the favorites going all week long. Orb was the favorite all week long, then fell back on Friday, then was actually one of the two favorites on Saturday. He won the race. I also think that the two-week span between Derby and Preakness, followed by 3 weeks for the Belmont, is too much for any horse, especially when fresh legs enter the race at the Belmont.
You know, I thought you were going a different route with the Kentucky Derby because my first thought was there are so many, and I think this might have been what you were saying too. I'm just wording it a different way, but the Kentucky Derby, there are so many horses in that race now. it becomes a very difficult race to handicap, bet, or, you know, try and make some money on. And then, as you said, you get a horse maybe that comes out of nowhere to win that one and will stand no chance at winning the next two races. Just because, he got lucky somewhere along the line.
Now, if they were to have the first Saturday in May, the first Saturday in June, and the 4th of July be the races, you might get a Triple Crown winner because of the staggering of races.
I think they need to start limiting the horses in the Kentucky Derby soon.
Well, 20 right now is the limit. 14 is limited. 14 is limited in every other one. But I think the time between races, 2 weeks, followed then by 3 weeks, is a little bit much. That's all. It's a lot for a horse. But, you know, there's certain misnomers in the game. Tight turns at Pimlico. No, the turns are exactly the same sweeping turns as you have at Churchill Downs. But the track is not as wide. That's the difference. Okay? Also, the other part is, look at the speed coming down the stretch as he blows by other horses. Everybody's getting tired. They aren't running as fast as they were 3/4 of a mile ago.
Which is it? Is it that horse is really fast or everybody else is just really slow?
Okay, that horse is running at a decent clip, but slower than before, but the other ones are out of gas. Sorry, you don't run harder a mile in. Okay? After a mile in, you're like, okay, we run a mile here. I mean, start playing Chariots of Fire.
Well, I know everybody talks about the Belmont. You know, the biggest issue for a Triple Crown winner is the Belmont's long.
Mile and a half.
Right. Yeah. As opposed
this
to
race
what,
is
mile,
actually, this,
mile
this
3/16th?
Race, this race is actually shorter than the Derby. It's a mile and 3/16ths. Derby's a mile and a quarter. So, and I could see, for example, Verrazano coming back in the Belmont. Verrazano's not going to run this race. Fresh legs makes a big difference.
The real question is, what is the drink at the Preakness? I don't remember that one. It's mint juleps at the Kentucky Derby, I believe.
Old Thunderbird. All right.
Old Thunderbird? Oh, it's the Black Eyed Susan.
No, the Black-Eyed Susan's the flower.
Yeah, but it's also the drink, too.
That's the drink, yeah. The Black-Eyed Susan they throw over the winter.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. That's also a drink.
Yeah, the Old Thunderbird.
Old Thunderbird. I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's a form of, like, wino booze, for God's sakes, that they put in a little bag and they drink in the corner. Old Thunderbird.
Oh, is that...
Come on.
Anything like Morgan David? Is that what the other one was?
No, Morgan David's actually classier than Thunderbird.
I see.
Okay. Penn State will play at Rutgers in 2014. Then Northwestern at home at Michigan. Ohio State at home. Maryland at home at Indiana. At Illinois, Michigan State is the Thanksgiving weekend game. Now, this is how they handled the crossovers for the 2 years. They've taken the rivalries, and they've just thrown them into schedules. That's what they did. Okay, let's take Minnesota. They get Michigan, and they get Ohio State. Penn State gets Illinois Northwestern. I mean, that's how they – Rutgers and Maryland – that's the last game of the season. They are the two that get to Wisconsin. See how they did it? Interesting, isn't it? That's how they ended up doing it. The only difference is that Indiana has to play Purdue. So that's the only thing that, that changes that part. See, that's the interesting thing is how they did it. And everybody gets two bye weeks. Penn State has three because they're still trying to build in that one destination game as a possibility. Okay? That's it. That's what you got. And I think they put Penn State and Michigan State at the end. I think that's more of an accommodation for Michigan State. Because they really don't have anywhere to go. All right, so this is a black-eyed Susan, huh?
I knew that's what you were looking at. Yeah,
3/4 ounce of vodka.
Right.
1 1/4 ounces of Kentucky whiskey.
Yep.
3 ounces of sweet and sour mix.
Yep.
2 ounces of orange juice for no apparent reason.
You have to give it some health.
And a garnish with orange sliced cherry and a stir.
Right.
I mean, at that point, you don't even know who the you're at a horse race.
Now the Belmont has its own drink too, but we'll wait a couple of weeks to debut the ingredients for the Belmont.
Oh, brother!
It's called the Belmont Breeze, by the way.
Well, we will celebrate the 30th anniversary of Secretariat's run. We will play back the brilliant call of the race. And it was a brilliant call. I believe it was Chick Anderson. Secretariat by 12, Secretariat by 14, Secretariat running like a tremendous machine.
Was that 73?
Yep. That's why. So we go back, what, 40
See, I did
years?
The math. Yeah, I did the math.
40 years. 40th anniversary of the of his Triple Crown. Now, he's not the last Triple Crown winner, of course.
No, the last one was affirmed in 77. Or, I'm sorry, 78. Seattle Slough was 77.
Yes. So, but we'll celebrate that magnificent run. I think it was with June 9th, if I recall, that year. June 9th, 73, I think. But you'll have to look that up because I'm not sure. But that is the football schedule. And it, you just flip it around for 15. That's what they'll do is they'll flip it in 15. Then in 16, you have to have a, come up with a whole new scheduling formula because now you're going to have three teams on the in the other division that you're playing. Three. And go from there. A little more complicated. I think the SEC needs to go to 9. I think it would be good for them if they did. They've stayed at 8 for a long time. The Big Ten actually had 9 games in the 80s, 30 years ago. But and they did it for 2 years. I think in 83 and 84 they did it. Then they went back. You know, and that was a point where they had 10 teams. So you literally
everybody played
were
everybody.
Playing everybody in the conference the way the Pac-10 did until they added Utah and Colorado.
How long before the Big 12 gets a TV network? I mean, they're about the only major one now without one, isn't it?
Boy, they're in a tough spot. For one thing, I think, you know, they need to add 2 more schools somewhere to get 12.
Well, that would be a help, yeah.
Well, they're not. They don't have a conference championship game. They don't have a conference championship game. So they're the only one of the major conferences that doesn't have a championship game anymore.
You look at the Big 12 and where everybody is, West Virginia still just looks funny. You got everything from Texas, Oklahoma, all the way up through, and then West Virginia.
Well, West Virginia, they have travel issues beyond words. I mean, you know, their closest road trip is Iowa State.
Yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, if I were Cincinnati, I'd be working very hard to somehow get myself into that league. If I were Cincinnati, I'd be working very hard to get myself in that league, play up the fact you could develop a rivalry with West Virginia and the whole thing. You know what I mean? Something. Now, BYU's a problem. BYU would be a nice fit for the Big 12 as well, but BYU has the Sunday issue. You can't play basketball games on Sunday. You can't play women's basketball games on Sunday. You can't play your non-revenue sports on Sunday. They won't play on Sundays. That's an issue.
And that's a deal breaker for them, period.
All right, and that's an issue. So, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf is going to make it impossible.
Impossible.
For you to say no to these huge discounts. Show off your individuality with a 2013 Kia Soul starting at $15,929. Sunbury Motors Kia ordered extra 39 MPG 2012 Kia Optima Hybrids, which are discounted $5,047. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Built in the USA, 2014 Kia Serenos start at just $22,993. And Sunbury Motors Kia has 18 in stock now. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, the discounts are so huge, it's going to be impossible to say no. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We close things down here on a Thursday. Dick Girardi tomorrow from Pimlico. And the Preakness Orb going for the second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown.
And by
Kevin
the way,
going under assumed names to avoid audits.
And if you missed how to make a black-eyed Susan for the Preakness, go to stevejonesshow.com. We have the recipe online.
I don't want to be blamed for...
No. Here's how you make it. Everything else, there's a disclaimer on there.
There better be. There better be a disclaimer on there.
We'll do the Belmont Breeze in a couple of weeks.
Why don't we just go to Brewer's Outlet and stock up?
It's a thought.
It's amazing how I'm always the one that incorporates the sponsor.
You're amazing.
No, I get concerned sometimes. You get into this tunnel in you. So I go out last night after the show and to cut the lawn. Man, I was stunned when I went outside last night.
How high the grass was?
No, it was 81 degrees.
Was it 81?
Oh, my goodness. It was 81. It's 82 here now. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it's gorgeous out. If we could just get this kind of weather on June 5th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, that would be great. They do a great job. Great cause. Now, the last we heard, they had two openings for the afternoon flight, but they do have multiple openings for the morning flight, which is the one we're in.
I'm starting to think maybe that's why they have openings for the morning flight.
No, it's Wednesday, June 5th. I think it's a great time to get out. Say it's a day like this, nice and cool in the morning, kind of build temperature as you go. We'll do the show live out there from 3 to 5 at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club out there on the deck.
Yeah, but I think you've scared everybody away from playing in the morning flight because I'm playing in the morning flight.
No, we have you pretty well muzzled.
I mean, you've talked about, you know, how I tried to, quote-unquote, assassinate you, I believe was the word.
You did try to kill me, but we've solved it. We've solved that problem.
How have we solved that problem?
Came up with another fourth.
Ah-ha! See, I got to read between the lines more often.
Why'd you bring your kid out that day? He can caddy.
No, he's still in school yet.
That's okay. And it's not doing him any good.
It's only the last week of school anyway. I mean, really, what are they going to do?
Listen to that attitude from a parent. If that doesn't tell you everything.
Listen, if that's one of the last 3 days of school, if the last 3 days of school cost him honor society, we have a bigger issue. Yes.
By the way, Jermaine Marshall, I mentioned yesterday, he will be graduating in August, and then he will turn pro. Penn State has 11 scholarships right now for the upcoming season. That means there are two openings for Patrick Chambers. Expect Penn State to pursue a transfer that would sit out the upcoming year, but to pursue a transfer. And there are several out there right now. But Penn State has two openings now on its basketball roster, scholarship-wise. They have 11 scholarship players out of 13. John Johnson, by the way, will not be eligible for Penn State to play until December 21st because of his transfer from Pitt last year. Just some things to think about as we build forward. I mean, I've talked about a lot of things today. As I mentioned earlier on the show, I was talking about, you know, Bill O'Brien as a CEO, you know, underwent an extensive review of everything. They're going to change charters this year, charter companies this year, and the style of plane. Part of the review. They're going to change hotels at home. Part of the review. You know, I mean, and then you have that Sports Illustrated story that 5 years ago was in the story. It's not even a story. And nobody thinks more highly of Wayne than I do, Sebastianelli. So this has nothing to do with that part. Has nothing to do with Wayne. This has to do with the structure that he wants to put in place. And I don't want the current medical staff to be put down. They're outstanding in their field as well. Enjoy the night. Does your kid have a Little League game tonight?
No, just batting practice tonight.
You're going to be there till 9.
Yep.
He didn't have a good night last night, did he?
He was 0 for 0 with a walk. Some days, that's a good night.
Explain to everybody what happened after the walk.
I don't want to talk about the doubling off first.